Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip, or rather a hunting trip. We're talking about creating opportunities for people to spend time outdoors and have experiences hunting. After all, it's only 28 days to the Wisconsin bow season opener. A Mosinee organization has been working since 2007 to taking people with disabilities and challenges on adventures they call Dream Hunts. Right now, they're focusing on offering veterans this unique personal experience to recognize their sacrifice and embrace the natural beauty of central Wisconsin. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation. Ask your own questions. Share your experience by calling 800-780-9742, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Today, we welcome Joe Ramsey. Actually, we welcome him back. He was first here in 2011, and he's the founder of Empowered Dream Hunts. Joe and his wife, Lori, created this organization to serve people with different abilities and get them into the field and creating memories that may be really a once-in-a-lifetime experience for some. Joe, welcome back to Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is a pleasure to be back here, and obviously a native of Merrill, Wisconsin, as they call Merle back there, but it is a pleasure to be back.
Great. You know, this is really a big week for you ahead of your fundraising banquet that's actually tomorrow night, but it's also because just a couple of days ago, you surprised a veteran with news that he's going on a dream hunt. Joe, tell us what happened in Winneconne.
Yeah. If you look at it, full circle, we came full circle. The days of 2005, sitting in a wrestling club meeting in a village pub, and going back, you see those memories. Even though paint has changed and faces have changed, we walked in there, and an individual had no idea that his grandkids were preparing an opportunity for him to go on an adventure with Empowered Dream Hunts.
Tell us about this gentleman.
His name is Dennis. He's a Marine, Korean War vet, and has some challenges, but his curiosity and adventure, he took me on a fishing trip, and it was a trip that him and I will never forget. I hooked into a nice brook trout over there by the Fremont area. I did keep asking Dennis, are we on property that we can be on? He said, just fish, boy. And I did, and I hooked into a nice brook, and next thing you know, I was jumping in after it, and he giggles that story. Most importantly, though, is the family was there and individuals are there. And I want to say to the audience out there is that there's barriers that we break and understand the person that is having their dream, allow them to go in that journey they want to go. So Dennis is planning, his family's planning, even though the bow season's coming up, there are going to be some sacrifices to make sure Dennis has his dream hunt.
Well, how did Dennis qualify?
Dennis qualified simply anybody can go on the website. Anybody can go on any type of application. We ask people to be mindful. This year it was the year of the veterans. And with the year of the veterans, we wanted to make sure that we tried to accommodate those that want to hunt. And Dennis's family went on that website, and that was a prerequisite. The other one is, where has his hunting adventures taken him? And 07 was the last time he was able to enjoy putting a harvest in the freezer. So he's waited a long time. And when they shared he went with a 30-30, I recall back as a little boy in Merrill, Wisconsin, using a 30-30. They think I got lucky, but we hope that we can share that journey with Dennis.
That's incredible. Now, Joe, we have another guest here in the studio that's sitting right next to you, and he's he was there at the recent surprise visit to Dennis as well. Derek Carlson, you're a Boy Scout. You're a candidate for Eagle Scout, I understand, you're working to build awareness for Empowered Dream Hunts. Thanks for joining us, first of all, Drake.
Thank you. Very nice.
What was it like to be involved in letting this veteran know that he'll be going on a hunt?
I thought it was pretty exciting to see their reaction.
What was that reaction that you remember? Well, let me ask you this. How did it make you feel? And what did you think about during that time? And what are you thinking about now related to Dennis and this upcoming hunt?
The upcoming hunt, it's going to be eventful, interesting mm-hmm. to see how the outcome comes.
And Joe, why is it important that Drake came alongside you Wednesday?
Well, we not only had Drake with us. Drake, there was another gentleman. His name was Bill Cook, and he served, do you know what branch he served in?
The Navy.
In the Navy. So when Bill and you were here and your dad was there, your dad understood that video camera isn't very easy, right?
Yep.
Especially following Joe Ramsey. You know, you're following a jackrabbit around the room. But once we went up and shared that story with Dennis, could you sense some excitement when he's telling the fish story?
Yep.
Did you think Definitely. He was going to wrestle me down? But knowing that he was there and the other individuals in the room, you were there. You were a recipient. You went on a hunt. There was another family there, Ross Kleinschmidt. He was on the hunt. Ross's dad and Ross's uncle has passed. He's a veteran. He went on a hunt. We had a Bishop family. They went on a hunt. So what do you think about sharing those that were there that went on a hunt? How do you think that made Dennis feel? Do you think it made him feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay.
100% so, comfortable.
Yeah.
That's great. It's really special that the two of you were able to connect with the others during that time, especially Wednesday night. And I know, Drake, you've been involved with this organization for some time, and you went on a dream hunt yourself, as Joe just mentioned. Tell us about that experience.
That was also very interesting. It took me 6 days to get one.
Mm-hmm.
We went out first with a crossbow, but then the day we decided to bring out the crossbow and a rifle, I didn't get the one. I didn't get it with the crossbow. I got it with the rifle instead.
Mm-hmm. And that sense of excitement at that moment in time, you know, how did that feel?
It felt great with the adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that adrenaline rush. I was able to captivate that after, but I would say you had a special guest on your hunt that kind of flew into your picture. What was that?
A turkey.
So it was a turkey, but knowing that, is it as easy as you think?
It's not that easy.
And what I would say, Rick, is that our viewers out there, the prime hunting season is during the rut
mm-hmm.
or the first days of bow hunting. Once those deer know you're there, they're very smart. And so that element of individuals, and we respect that people have their own land, but we also respect the fact that that's why we hunt the way we do. But we also give credit to the 9-day disabled hunts out there and the opportunities the DNR offers.
Mm-hmm. And Drake, was that your first hunt, or did you experience hunting before?
I've been hunting before.
Okay. Joe, where did you get the idea for Empower Dream Hunts, and really what inspired you to start this whole thing?
Back in Winneconne, Wisconsin, obviously as an individual that has compassion for others, there was a young man that showed up in a wrestling room, had trouble navigating around the room, and I asked him if he wanted me to treat him differently, and he punched me in the leg, and we became individuals that enjoyed the same interest of going out in the woods. And it took me multiple years to understand that this young man needed some help and guidance, and I mentored him with a crossbow. And obviously, Drake, when he gets that experience to shoot and harvest that buck for the first time with bow or crossbow. But this individual said, Joe, could you take me? And I gave up my time in Winneconne, but the loss of a wrestling coach inspired Kyle to say, let's pay it forward. And how are we in Mosinee, Wisconsin? because people feel that this is something. It might not be for you, but I challenge people, listen to those that might have different interests.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a hunter myself, I totally understand the feeling and the passion behind, you know, whether it's bow hunting or rifle hunting, being out in the woods, being with friends and family members and all of that. But what specifically do you see? What's the benefit for those who are challenged?
And I'd like to put an umbrella about a challenge. Just because you see somebody that does not, is not in a wheelchair or has any physical view of what you think is challenged, because, you know, with our veterans, PTSD, or individuals that deal with loss or maybe not have that special person to hunt with them. But I would say the challenge is with inside the individual to say, yes, I'd like to do that, because that's your first step, acknowledging that I would like to try this. And then after that try, that is where my, I guess, as a wrestler, when I can pin somebody, that's exciting. But when they said, we'd like to do this, then it is 100% in their field, their hands of planning. And that is the true dream hunt, is that once they commit, the journey begins.
Amazing. Drake, you've been, Joe mentioned that you're helping to build awareness of the program. What are you doing with respect to the Boy Scouts and your journey to Eagle Scout for Empowered Dream Hunts?
So I'm from Troop 458. My Eagle Scout project is an informational center for Empowered Dream Hunts. I'm working with Joe and also Dan from Stratford Signs to design the sign that will help make people aware of Empowered Dream Hunts. Learning about the DOT and permits, it was a struggle.
Yeah.
And then meeting, I was able to meet different people that throughout the process of working through my sign.
Mm-hmm.
I also learning leadership skills for, and also learning a protected for comment.
What does that say there? Communication skills?
Communication skills.
So what I'd like to say, Rick, out there is that, yeah, in our organization, my wife does not like to be in public,
mm-hmm.
but she has a gift. The gift that Drake has brought is awareness to when you go out and people see you at the golf course, when you shared what you were doing, how do you think that made them feel?
It made them feel...
As business people, they came up and shook your hand. And what did they say? There's a couple of people that said something to you about how well you're doing.
They said I was doing amazing things.
And that's that word, amazing. So where is the sign right now? Actually, Rick, where is the journey? You know, Route 51 here?
Yeah.
So, Drake, tell us the journey about that sign that your troops helped you build.
The journey, it was...
Where did it start out first when you put it up? Is it at Marathon?
It was on Main Street Marathon. And then we moved it to south of Marathon to out to 153 and 107.
Okay.
And where does it rest right now?
River River Ballroom off of 29.
Okay. It's a high exposure spot right now. You're listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Empowered Dream Hunts founder Joe Ramsey and Boy Scout Drake Carlson about helping veterans get into the outdoors and enjoy hunt regardless of ability. And we welcome your questions and your stories. Join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. You can also send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Rick Ryer. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing, loving every day. Early in the morning, late in the evening, I'm getting red dirt rich and Flint River paid. Hunting, fishing, loving every day.
This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network. I'm Rick Ryer. We're talking about an organization that helps people who face barriers go on hunting trips. So what would you like to know? Email us at ideas@wpr.org or join us by phone. That number to call is 800-780-9742. Joe Ramsey founded and runs Empowered Dream Hunts. Drake Carlson is a teenager and Eagle Scout candidate who benefited from the program and is now giving back to help generate support. They stay with us for the hour. I also want to welcome Corey Dornbreck, who knows this program very well and is joining us to share his story. Corey,
Hello, thanks
for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are a veteran. When did you serve?
I came in the military in 1988 and got out in 2018.
Okay. And is there, what should we know about the time that you spent in service?
I was active duty in National Guard. I was in Desert Storm, and then I did two tours with the Guard in Iraq.
And what are you willing to share about your experience?
I guess I've become more of an open book.
Okay.
As I've learned to deal with the stuff that I've seen and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Desert Storm. You know, most of us were, you know, teens, early 20s. You're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know.
Yeah.
And, but then when I went with the Guard, I was much older by then. We did convoy escorts and did over 4 million miles in a year that we escorted trucks throughout Iraq. And we lost, during that time, we lost 3 soldiers and one from my hometown, he volunteered for one last mission.
Hmm. Okay. Now, you said you're an open book. Has that been always the case?
No.
Okay. Okay.
My wife says I'm a very good actor.
Okay.
You know, play that there's nothing wrong, you know, very little emotion and such, but been working with issues with PTSD, with counseling, and different programs to help open up, and now it's trying to make awareness of it, that, you know, you're not alone. There's other people out there, might be in a different situation, but they're there, and, you know, there's people out there willing to listen to you and be there for you and not judge you on what you did.
How did you become involved with Empowered Dream Hunts, especially as it relates to bringing veterans in?
Actually, my son was a scout. He got his Eagle, and I had posted. He got his Brotherhood on Facebook, and a friend of Joe's and mine, Jeff, saw the picture, and Joe was working with Jeff's son Luke with the Eagle Project and stuff, and Jeff said, well, you're looking for veterans. Why don't you talk to Corey, because, you know, he is a veteran. And I was always raised to be there to help others. So Joe asked me, you know, information about, you know, veterans and stuff. And it's been, quite a few years now that we've been, you know, working on different things and just communicating and talking.
Mm-hmm. What kind of impact has this program been for you?
It's nice seeing other people out there wanting to help the veterans, especially with the disabled, with his attract wheelchairs. I talked to him about a friend that I knew, actually grew up in my grandma's neighborhood. He was the guy down the street that if you went on his yard, he was out yelling at you. And you know, so you avoided his yard all the time. But I got involved with the AMVETS, and he was also involved with AMVETS. And because we had a history in the past, you know, we let the past be the past. and we formed a very good relationship. He worked at the boys' school. He was in the military, was in the National Guard, and was shipped out to Washington during the Korea conflict, where a lot of the Guard units were sent out, and then everything ceased, so they came back. And he was always an outdoors person. He did hunter safety, taught hunter safety, worked with the kids at the boys' school. And, you know, him and I had many conversations about that. And as time went on, he lost one leg because of diabetes, and then he lost his second leg, both legs, because of diabetes. And I just thought, to help give back to him, I asked Joe about getting the wheelchair, because he was just working on a new one for veterans. And I talked to Pat's wife, and I said, I know he's an outdoor person. And she said, you know, he always talks about walking his dogs out at the council grounds. If you could just get him, get out there, and, you know, he can go through council grounds, you know, instead of just through, I'm sure it would make his day. Mm-hmm. So we set it up. He had no idea what was happening. We had my son out there as a scout, Luke as a scout, another friend, Gabe from AmVets, and Joe, and we had the stuff sitting out there, and Pat's wife brought him out to council grounds, and we were standing there, and he drove by me, and I could tell he was not in a good mood. He didn't want to go out that day. And we get up. He pulls up next to me and opens the window. I said, I got something for you. And Luke was on the wheelchair and brought it around the trailer. And we said, this is yours for the day. Let's go for a walk. And he was a tanker back in the day, so this was just perfect for him. And we just started just going through the woods and the trails and having conversations. And he started getting a little overzealous and was trying to go up tree stumps and stuff. But it was good just to get him out there. And, you know, the younger boys sat and had conversations and just talking and sharing memories.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, have you actually learned more about yourself through your relationship with Pat?
Yes. You learn to put, things away, and, he was somebody that he didn't get married till he was well off in his life, and I was there. We could sit and have conversations for hours, just sit and talk, and he felt comfortable around me, mm-hmm. and I felt comfortable around him, so he could open up and tell his stories, and he could get emotional, and that's because, I mean, when I grew up, boys don't show emotion. Military, you don't have emotion, and because emotion can, kill you. But that is there, and there's a time that you need to open up about it and let that emotion out.
Okay, Joe, you mentioned earlier that you were dedicating this year as the year of the vet. Why are you connecting specifically with veterans? What does spur this on in your heart?
As a parent, I look into the eyes of my boys and I reflect back to the individuals that have given me strength and leadership, and majority of those individuals served. Mm-hmm. And I value the honor, the respect. Some people obviously have a different in our freedom in our country. You can share that viewpoint. Been abroad with wrestling and appreciation is I can share this with my sons. My daughter, we're going to go see her shortly because everybody only thinks that we have the boys, but we had a 10-year gap. But even when I had time with her in Winneconne, and that was the reflection of Dennis Baim there in Winneconne, is people know that I spent that passion and love for my kids. And right now I have a student that's my son that's is in special ed, and I show him, because he thinks that if he makes a cheesecake, the vets will get a deer. He's convinced of that, and I allow that, of just that little childhood atmosphere, but that is the reason, what they stand for, why they go, and It's nice to say that you've contributed, even though you didn't serve. My years at Rawhide, I learned how to shine boots and be with a fellow Marine, a fellow Army vet that taught me the principles. So that curiosity, we have a lady called the Pen Lady that we do twice a year with Mike Heilman at the Veterans Cup of Coffee, where we dedicate a pen, and she does that because of the impact. So we keep that thread. I had a classmate back in Merrill, Wisconsin that he was in the Navy, and we don't know what happened, but I know when he lost his life that we can always pay it forward. So we don't normally, if you ask my wife, Lori, why are we doing so many? We said we'd only help two or three. I just felt it was in my heart to say, we're going to get this mission done.
You mentioned pay it forward a number of times already this morning, and it's kind of based on your concept of ripple of kindness. Explain that.
Corey and I, and not knowing, but there are individuals. I was that boy at Lincoln Hills. I was the boy running the streets. I was the boy ended up on a dairy farm in Merrill, Wisconsin. I always call these places the ripple of incubators that you're in. And there was a cliche of a man that said, all I do is pick up, and this is not a contrast or anything ill will of somebody that has a cigarette, but it was a cigarette butt. And the person goes, what can you do with this job in front of you? Do it to the best of your ability. Do it so good and so well that when you leave, somebody will recognize the impact that you've had. And that's my contribution to continue that ripple of kindness.
It kind of reminds me of the concept of doing the ordinary things better than anyone else in that respect.
And it does make a difference. So when somebody's not around that you can give a hug or give a thank you, you know that next person in front of you is there watching the individuals. I watch Drake. I watch the athletes that I've coached. I watch my kids. And that's my contribution, is to watch and watch them pay it forward multiple times with nothing in return, don't want anything. And I pay that tribute even to my wife, is daunting projects and what she's doing. And her constant, you know, in the medical field, myself, I didn't realize I start next week for helping with special ed at Mosvany, but it's being that person that you're just doing it because you just truly enjoy what you're doing.
Drake, you're hearing this conversation, you know, Joe and Corey talking about paying it forward, and you're working with veterans right now. How does that impact on you? How does it make you feel? Is this something that you strive to do, and looking up to these gentlemen on either side of you this morning and others that you worked with, Dennis, on Wednesday night and other times?
I would ask this, Drake. You have helped fellow vets. You've helped fellow scouts. So you've been at our banquet. You know it's going to be a lot of fun. By being there, what are the things that you're going to be able to do at the banquet to help? You know there's going to be people there. So what can you say about helping at the banquet? All the prep work. When you went on your hunt, okay, who is helping you? Your dad?
And
me and Davey. Okay, so what about Davey? Can you see a way that you'll help Davey?
Yeah.
How can you help get ready for the next hunt? Going out, checking the stands. You tell me about the stands? Were you in one stand or two stands?
We were in, I believe, two stands. One was a box blind, and one was a climbing stand.
Okay, so and talking about what Rick's talking about, there is going to be another veteran at Davies. So what would it make you feel if you could prepare his stand? Would it make you feel good?
Yeah, it would.
And then I'll contrast that to the Denny's breakfast cup of coffee. Are there a lot of vets that come there?
Yes.
So a lot. Are they coming just to eat?
No.
They're coming there. To get recognized. Do you have anything to contribute about that veteran cup of coffee? I mean, what did you feel when you were there?
I felt like they appreciated it with them being there, with us, with all of them and us being there.
Do they like hearing our stories?
Definitely.
So what could you say to our audience right now? Tell me one story that they can look forward to the next Empowered Dream Hunts. Just think of one story in the woods. If they could come along with us, what would they expect on a dream hunt? Would they expect any of this that you've done?
No.
No. Would they expect your kindness?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's incredible. Thank you, both of you, for that. And Corey, from your experience coming back from your service as a veteran, and I know veterans who have PTSD and working through things that you've been working through. As in a dream hunt experience, you are exposed potentially to loud noises, an environment that is not familiar to you at some point in time. How does that affect you being in the woods and helping other veterans through the process and the experience that they would receive with a dream hunt?
Well, each person deals with their trauma differently.
Understandable, yes.
And it's getting them out there to work with their with these traumas that they have, and it's having someone there that can understand and just to talk to and share stories with also. You never know what you're going to come up with, but just having the experience with people and being able to share it is a big thing to me.
Okay. Thank you for that. We have Corey, Drank, and Joe with us in the studio here on Route 51. Joe Ramsey organizes dream hunts for veterans, people with disabilities, and others who qualify for a supportive trip into the woods. Corey Dornbrecht's a veteran and a volunteer for the program, and Drake Carlson volunteers and knows what it's like to receive the gift of a hunt. We'd like to hear from you as well. If you have a story to share from your experiences in the woods and helping others experience the same thing that you enjoy, or just a question about Empowered Dream Hunts and the experiences that you're hearing about today, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 800-780-9742. We can also send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Rick Ryer. You're listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Running through my blood, your presence couldn't be more clear. As once again I say amen to a bow hunter's prayer.
Thanks for joining us on Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer. We have three guests today, all talking about the power of hunting, especially for people who face challenges that would otherwise limit them from getting out in the field or traipsing into the woods. Our guests are Empowered Dream Hunts leader Joe Ramsey, Boy Scout and supporter Drake Carlson, and veteran volunteer Corey Dornbrecht. And before the break, we were talking about experiences and the impact that these Empowered Dream Hunts have had on folks that have participated. And we have one of those participants here with us, Drake, and you wanted to share a story.
What I can do is, Rick, you know, I was thinking, because coaching, and this is actually, is it easy to talk in a radio for everybody, Rick?
No, not everybody.
Not everybody. But, Drake, could you read about, and I'm going to kind of coach you, because as my coaching, but this relates to you. Could you read about the track chair about this gentleman?
One of What a fantastic organization. Although I did not harvest a deer yet, harvest a deer this year. Your action track chair made my hunt much easier for me to get around other properties and enjoy another year of hunting with my family. It was wonderful knowing there was three generations of bishops out in the woods.
And this gentleman is Bill Bishop, Rick. And you know that thread and that ripple. Now, Bill Bishop is a veteran. Bill Bishop was in Winneconne when we were surprising Dennis.
No kidding.
And Bill Bishop went on his dream hunt last year. But if you could kindly read this story, because this encompasses about family and everybody working together. Read about Autumn.
Autumn always wanted to harvest a deer. She was so excited and shared her beautiful smile with everyone. She even created a special Empowered Dream Hunts Girl Power shirt for Ella and Anna Weiland and herself. With one shot, Autumn successfully harvested a beautiful 11-point mature buck at Whitetails of a Lifetime. Her sequel of excitement proved how much she enjoyed her experience. Besides being able to enjoy some venison jerky and snack sticks, Autumn made some new friends.
So, Drake, your hunt, do you think you met some new friends?
Definitely I did.
So each day you were out, did it matter when the journey ended?
No.
So like I, no pun intended, this Route 51, it is a journey that most hunters that are in the woods, some of these individuals say, I hope I don't get anything because I got to go back home. And all you hunters out there can, you know, testify to that. But Drake, that is amazing. Because by just sharing that about Autumn and how many people it took, but your adventure, you're now going to be able to give back.
Now, Joe, one of the things that in reading about Empowered Dream Hunts, and one of the things that you told us in the past, is that it's not only the hunter, it's not only the recipient who is in the woods, it's the family. You bring everybody possible into the experience. Why is that, and how has that impacted the organization and you?
The real world that we're in is, how many times out there did you hear when you're at a wedding, hey, I wish I could see you more? Or unfortunately, that end game, that sad day about being at a funeral,
right?
I wish I could see you more. So bringing that family and encompassing it, that is an ingredient of bringing friends and families and tradition. Because there's a lot of people that have the tradition where they'll play the card games, they'll be the cook. So trying to bring those individuals into play, I've heard it over the years. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for inviting all. But most importantly, that we can contribute, even though we're not in the blind, we're sitting there waiting to see that smile when our family member comes back. Win or lose, because you can't control Mother Nature.
That's right. And Corey, you talked a lot about your relationship and experiences with Pat, and I would imagine that you have other experiences working with vets and with Empowered Dream Hunts. What can you say? What would you say to a veteran who may hear themselves in your story?
Just get out there and take advantage of it. Enjoy it. Last year for Labor Day, I asked Joe about getting the track chair in the trailer to help promote it in Merrill, and I actually had a World War II veteran drive the track chair through the parade, and he just had a blast on the chair, and people get to see him, and unfortunately he passed away this last summer. So, but it's I know a lot of people, you know, oh, I don't want to do this. But once you convince them to do it, their joy that they get out of it, you know, and the memories that they make with it will last, you know, the lifetime.
Joe, tell us about this track, Chair. I know we've referred to it quite a bit during the program, and describe it. What does it do? What makes it different than a traditional wheelchair?
Just like our journeys on, I was listening to Corey and listened to you that the Action Track Chair, decades ago, we won't say decades ago, but we can say wheelchairs have evolved, and we take our journey one track at a time. And in my passings, we all have our big bucket list or wish list, and I hear the word occupational therapy. My desire, and it is in timing, but it's naturally affected because we are in nature, is coming alongside and doing that outdoor occupational therapy. But knowing those individuals, and I'm challenging you out there, if it's, you're listening to us, you can call in. But most people don't want to get out of their comfort zone. They don't want to get out of that chair. They don't want to get out of that scooter. But we had some individuals make these boards, how they transfer from one, you know, one phase or one journey to the next. And that's what's taught me that, Joe, it's all right to challenge somebody because it's that challenge that makes us grow. And watching them challenge from one transfer to the next into the chair. But they always say, and Corey's been there, it doesn't go fast enough. Maybe that person, you, that says that, maybe it shouldn't go fast enough. But it is taking you that you slow down and use that chair the way it's intended. But also, it's okay to ask for help. And for most of those individuals, it is the chair.
And that chair itself, it's not a wheel. It's a full track that gets you through the brush and through a trail to the spot that you where you want to be for your hunting experience, correct?
Or snow. But you also have to be aware, I don't care what you have. You could have a four-wheel drive tractor, four-wheeler, gator, you mug boggers out there, that it can get stuck. So make sure when you are using the chair, number one, use the proper safety. Make sure you go with somebody. A lot of times you want to go by yourself and they can get stuck. But make sure you're going because that's the adventure, is sharing it with somebody else. But understand, once you use it in anything, just be mindful of the safety. But use it for what it's intended. It's used to get off of some normal terrain. And most of the time when you get the rainstorms and you get the muds, and our friend there, Luke Anderson, took the chair. I'm going to meet an individual at our banquet tomorrow that has been blessed to use that chair by a veteran that is taking the chair into the woods because he might have stayed home. And so now he's able to get out there. And I just ask you, they're also expensive. Obviously, as a sales rep, you want me to sell as many chairs. It's not about selling the chairs, even though you see them on our trailer. Borrow it, use it, ask, contact us. It's not always about, and this is my humble ability, is it's not about Empowered Dream Hunts. It's about you, and if we can't help you, we'll get you back on the right track.
On the right track. I like that. You talk about, you know, independence, which is what the track chair provides, freedom, independence. And the first word of the organization is empowered. What to you, Joe, and I'm going to ask you the same question, Corey and Drake, think about it. What does empowered mean for you and the organization and the people that you work with, Joe?
I'd like to bring this because this is where I can tie Drake in, you know, and I always like to, you know what, Drake, you have so much to offer in the word empowered. I'm sitting there with my son. I come over to the track over for Badger State track. You're in your wheelchair. You're competing against two other individuals. You roll down that track. So my empowerment is that, Drake, who did we empower that day? Not sure her name, but we empowered her for an opportunity.
Yeah, empowered her for a bear hunt.
And if we wouldn't have been there, Would that have happened?
No.
And you've been on a bear hunt before.
Yep.
What do you think she's going to experience if she uses a track chair and gets to go hunting?
A lot of different terrain with the chair.
Will it make her feel good? You're a part of that, Drake. And I want the audience to know that you're all a part of this. So if you know somebody just like Drake, Drake's going to get to go up there and experience that experience. Rick, thanking you to be able to share this. So you are a part of it. You are empowered out there.
And Corey, what about you? What does that word mean to you?
It's empowering you to do things that you thought you couldn't do anymore. You know, if you've been paralyzed or lost a limb or something, you know, just like Pat, he couldn't get out there and walk his dogs anymore and get out in the woods. You know, this gave him that opportunity, empowered him to get up back out and see that he can still do it.
What was his reaction the first time in the track chair?
Oh, he was, you know, like I said, he was crabby that day. He didn't want to go out. And he was grinned from ear to ear, just beaming. You know, he was just was having so much fun and just had a hard time putting it to words. And when we got done that day, he broke down and started crying, you know, thanking us for giving him that opportunity.
He also got a little crass at Luke and I. I'm like, hey, we can help you, sir. He goes, I drove a tank. Get out of my way, boys.
And that track chair, information about how you anybody can see it, can use it, is on your website, empoweddreamhunts.org, as well. And I saw a picture of it, and the mechanics of it are really intriguing. How does that work, Joe?
Well, and the answer to that question is the mechanics. It is a wheelchair instead of the wheels, the tracks. And some people see skid loaders or tractors that have tracks. It's designed because those wheelchairs don't get to go and they get stuck and the tractors get stuck. But all it's doing is it's a low gear, wide base that can go over terrain. But the unique part about sharing and giving and becoming a team is the selflessness of Empowered Dream Hunts. If I can't help, we can't help. I talked to Luke. I said, there's another organization that has inspired us. They have some chairs. So that's that teamwork around this area. Right now, today, it's about Empowered Dream Hunts. But once again, those track chairs are available in our area. There is an individual, I believe, down south. She's trying to get these chairs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get you in contact with a group if we need to get 2, 3. But we want to make it feasible for you to get out there, but also to stay using the gears.
How does somebody apply to go on a dream hunt, and how do they qualify? The ultimate, how are they chosen?
So in Power Dream Hunts, we follow some of the guidelines with the DNR website. They have the class A, B, C. So whatever those restrictions are, and don't quote me on it. I know you're either born in a wheelchair, you've had an accident, which what has restricted you. But we also follow the lines of I lost my father last year. And it was on the last call of one of the fallen police officer's son that we helped. And besides doing other things and dealing with grief, we're able to help him, but to be able to get those people in the right direction.
Any final thoughts as to, in the last 10 seconds or so, you know, encouraging people to check out Empowered Dream Hunts?
Just take advantage of the things and get out there and enjoy the outdoors, enjoy the friendship and camaraderie.
Great. Thank you so much, all three of you. I want to thank our guests, Joe Ramsey, founder and leader of Empowered Dream Hunts, Drake Carlson, Eagle Scout candidate, recipient of a hunt, and Corey Dornbreck, a volunteer and veteran with 3 decades of service to our country. Empowered Dream Hunts has an annual banquet tomorrow night at River Ballroom in Marathon. Learn more at wpr.org/Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Got some camouflage and coffee on. I'm off the whole weekend and there's a cold front moving in. First thing I do when I climb my stand is bow my head and thank the man. And while I'm waiting on day